Welcome to the Hog Radio Show, a weekly show covering the world of motorcycling and rider lifestyle, featuring Walt the Rev Fletcher and Steve the producer Johan. Now here they are with the good news on riding, your hosts.
Welcome everybody to another great hour of the Best in Rider Team. We've got a great show lined up for you, and Walt is not with us tonight, but I've got a good friend of ours, John Davis, who's actually now part of the team. So John, how's it going?
It's going great, Steve.
Excellent. So John is joining us, and we are going to be kind of a, I think we got two or three shows more under the Hog Radio banner. And I think it is because I'm coming up to episode 500. I want to nail that episode 500. It's 498 tonight. So we'll get two more in, and then we're shifting over to World of Motorcycling. Yes, indeed, folks, that's the new show, and it's going to be a new format, different than what we normally do. This one we do a lot of long-form interviews of great people. We've been doing this for 10 years, and I've decided it's time for the show to evolve and become all things to all people, which is World of Motorcycling. So that's I'm very excited, but I've got a lot of back-end stuff to do, prep work, blah, 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 blah. And John has kindly decided to come on board as our third wheel. Third spoke, I guess. That would be better, right, John?
Third wheel, third spoke.
Third wheel. There used to be a TV show called Third Wheel, and it was like there would be a couple, and then they'd bring in this other ringer, and they would be trying to vie for the girl, and it would, or girl would be vying for the other guy. It was one of these sleazy shows.
That sounds like it's on deep cable, some of those really high numbers.
Yeah, right next to Cheaters. I think that's right. Yeah. My wife and I would be watching this late at night on Saturday night, and we'd just be laughing at this thing. It was like, oh my gosh, this is like, what do you call that, Bachelor, but the PG, or I should say R version of Bachelor, because they made no bones about, yeah, man, I'm going to shag her when I get done. I'm like, thanks a lot. I didn't need to know that, you loser. And don't leave him. Stay with her. No. So anyway, so he is our third wheel, and he's going to join in. John, you have been a longtime rider. You grew up riding motorcycles. You left it, and then you came back about 10 years ago, or about 8 years ago. You came back as a re-entry rider, I think you said that was.
Yeah, I came back into it. It was about 2003.
Oh, okay, 2003.
That I came back into it after about a 10-year hiatus.
And you had something then, and then your wife bought you a really nice Honda.
Yeah, back in 2003, I'd been away from motorcycling for a while, and my wife decided that since I had a milestone birthday coming up that she would surprise me, so she went down to the motorcycle store.
And, what was that, 30 years of age?
Sure, we'll go with that. It may have been slightly higher than that.
Okay.
And I'd had this picture of this motorcycle as the wallpaper on my computer, and so she actually one day took my computer down to the dealership and showed them the picture and said, I need one of these.
Oh, excellent.
So, and that's exactly the bike I have still to this day.
Yep, and I remember that's when we had met you because you just got it. You came down the night that we had you on the show many, 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 many years ago.
Yep.
And you sat in and you had just come. It was in the winter, I think. You had your full riding gear on. And it's, is that a 1200 or 1800?
It's a VTX 1800.
That's right. And you've probably got 100,000 miles, things close to that?
Oh, I wish I had that much. It's low 60s right now.
Okay. So do you daily commute with that?
Not daily, but I try to commute regularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it depends on how you're feeling, because I know we have a lot of people that ride in the area. And Chris Johnson, who owns... the safety, what's the name of the company?
WMST.
WMST.
He's one of my bosses.
That's right. So Chris will come in, and we've had him in before, and he always drives his truck. And I'm like, Chris, you're not riding a motorcycle. And he goes, Steve, I've been on a bike and instructing all day, and I'm worn out.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be safe on a bike at this time of the night. And I've had Keith Wong, he'll show up. He's in his truck, and it's the same thing. You know, we do our show from 7 to 8. And they're like, no, I'm wiped out, and I don't want to be on a bike at this time of the night. I'm pretty pooped out. And that's smart. That's being a smart I remember I was had Dave Huff on, and he said that's one of the biggest things. He says, I don't ride at certain times. He says, it's not safe for me. I'm not in good shape, and I'm not going to be out. And I thought, that's smart. Now, Walt will putz down on his bike most of the time, but there are many a time when he'll, and he's only a mile up the street. But if it's been a long day and it's incremental weather, he'll just drive his car.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also an MSF instructor. And one of the things that we try to teach our students in the basic rider course is, you know, we tell them to anticipate a little bit. You know, if you're going to be out for a long day and you're trying to make that do I drive or ride decision, think about how you're going to feel at the end of the day. And I know if I'm going to, you know, if I'm doing a double range day or something where I'm going to be on the range all day long, I may not ride to that session because I know I'm going to be wiped out at the end of the day and I'm going to be in no shape to make the 45-minute ride home.
That's right.
So it's just planning ahead and knowing your own limits.
And if you're doing a range, you're on a bike and you're really focused. I mean, it's not like you're just relaxing. You are intense. You're watching other people. You're instructing. So it's a whole different ball game. It's like somebody going to a racetrack. You're not going to ride to the racetrack and ride home. You're going to drive, usually stay overnight and do your racing and then drive back the next day in a car or vehicle, because after a day of racing, you're going to be
Tired.
You're tired.
You're wiped out mentally and physically.
Yep. Matter of fact, I talked to a friend of mine who took his two children and they went to this place out in Bothell. And I can't, he forwarded me the name and I'll get it here soon. It's an instruction. The guy's got property out there and it's trail bikes. So you can take trail bike bikes and learn how to ride it. And he said, I had a blast, but he said, for a week, I couldn't hardly move my legs. He said, I used to ride, and he's got a trail bike, he says, but I don't ride like that. And I was standing up most of the time.
Yep.
And I thought, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to contact him, maybe get him as a sponsor of our new show. But, yeah, when you're riding off-road, our good friend Dave Swayze, I mean, he spent a lot of time down in in Central America, and he said, there's two things. You ride on your feet a lot, and he took a 650 rather than a bigger bike. For that purpose, he needed something light and nimble. But he is in great shape. I mean, he's in slim, nice shape. And I'm like, he's in better shape than me. He was complaining, I don't go to the gym. And I'm like, Dave, you're in really good shape. You race and you do off-road. You're in really good shape.
Yeah, but if you're going to have to pick up that bike, you know, five or six times a day, running around on some of those rough trails.
That's why you take a lightweight bike.
You take a lightweight bike.
That's right.
And it's still going to kick your butt. So.
And speaking of not so light a bike, the Yamaha touring bike, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Yamaha expands its transcontinental touring lineup with a 2018 Star Eluder Bagger arriving in dealerships early next year. The company previously announced that its Star Venture luxury touring bike wouldn't be shipped to dealers until late December due to manufacturing process change. And we thought we would talk a little bit about this because, in reality, John took out the Venture. Was that a week ago?
It was a week ago Saturday, yeah.
That's right. So a week and a half ago, you took out a Venture, which is basically the same thing as, he said, the Star Eluder. It's just the Star Eluder. They don't have the big box on the back end.
Yeah, they took the trunk off. It's kind of the bagger version.
That's right. Otherwise, it's the exact same bike.
Yep, same power plant, same frame.
So talk to us a little bit about your experience of taking that out.
Well, the Venture is it's targeted as a luxury touring bike, and it certainly has that down. Very comfortable seating position. It's got all the modern amenities, the nav system, full communications, heated seat. It's got an electric-driven reverse gear. So it's a, you know, it's a fully full highline luxury touring bike. Riding it, I don't think I'm the target audience. I don't think I'm the target audience. And, as a result, I was slightly underwhelmed with it. I thought it was geared a little low, especially in the first two gears. Kept bumping the rev limiter on those. and you kind of had to wind that engine up a little bit to get some good power out of it. You know, it started to come alive above about 3,500 RPM.
Right.
And I think it topped, redlined at 5,500. I think the rev limiter kicked in. But super comfortable ride, surprisingly nimble and easy to handle for its size and weight. It doesn't feel as heavy as it is.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. But I don't think it's my cup of tea.
Right.
But I can see where there'd be a lot of folks that would really like it, because it's certainly a very comfortable, plush riding motorcycle.
And when you say comfortable and plush, would you say it would be, let's say somebody's coming off of a smaller bike and they want to get one where they can do long touring and longer rides, 2, 3, 4, 5 days out with their spouse on the back or significant other. Do you think that would be a good ride, or somebody who's just re-entering and has ridden big bikes before?
I think somebody transitioning off of maybe a smaller bike, you know, maybe like a 950 or a 1200 or something like that.
Right.
Looking to move up to a full-size tourer.
Yeah.
It's certainly something to consider, you know, in the realm of, you know, like a Harley or even a Goldwing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of in that same sort of tier.
Right.
And if you're looking to move up to that sort of thing, it's definitely worth a test ride.
Okay.
Definitely worth looking at.
And I think that's the whole idea, is they want to try to bring in something where they're at that top.
Yeah.
Echelon. And you said it was kind of built more of a, you didn't even have to think about it kind of attitude.
Yeah. It's surprisingly nimble for its size.
Right.
You know, once it's moving down the road and you're going along, you don't really have to think too hard. It just kind of flows.
Well, and I think that makes a lot of sense. And if somebody's used to hefting around a bigger machine that's not as nimble and they're like, well, let's check this out. Geez, it's got the same features, dual alternators, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You can plug your TV in and watch it, you know? I mean,
put a microwave on that.
That's right. We'll be right back with more of our show and more of John and I. And so stay tuned.
I'm going to praise you, Jesus.
Great, lot of stuff to talk about.
Till these blues of mine fade on away.
Welcome to the Travel Tip of the Month. This month's topic is where to go. If you live in a cold climate, you are probably suffering from PMS. That's Park Motorcycle Syndrome. If that's the case, a week-long trip to a sunny place might be in order. When you are planning a week-long vacation, why not set aside a day to enjoy the sun on two wheels? Most towns or cities offer places to rent a bike for the day. Some even offer you the ability to rent clothing. But it's a good idea to check ahead, and if they don't, consider what you need and pack it in your suitcase. Always check with your insurance company to see if you are covered for a rental bike and get that part of the equation sewn up before you leave. Don't forget the water bottle. If you will be spending the day in the hot sun, you will need it. One other thing to keep in mind. It's a proven fact that the chances of having an accident go up when you're first getting on an unfamiliar bike. When you get on that bike, take it easy for the first half hour while you adjust to the new ride.
Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I don't need Cadillac, make me feel on top. I don't need a diamond ring or expensive place to shop. Keep life in a simple state with rubber on the ground. Wind in your
Welcome
hair
back
hair
to
on
the
sound.
Second segment of the show. It's John Davis and Steve Johann. Steve, the producer, Johann. Walt is out of the studio. Matter of fact, I didn't know that. We're sitting here ready to do the show, and John and I are talking, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I better give Walt a call. And I'm like, he goes, hello? And I go, Walt, are you coming? And he goes, you didn't get my email? No, Walt, I wouldn't be calling you if I got your email. I love it when somebody says, you didn't get my email, and I'm calling.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently, I did not.
And I was on there, so he may have sent it out just at the last minute. But he's up at beautiful Birch Bay. Both John and I know where that place is.
Yep.
There's a timeshare condo that he's a member of. And my in-laws, so my family and I spend time up there. As a matter of fact, we were there in spring. It's wonderful. And this time of the year, it's delightful. So I know he's up there enjoying himself with his wife, and they're out eating at the restaurants, and he's probably trying to sneak in some cold beers there and stuff. So anyway, so John and I are here, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the Ducati debacle, because basically it has been... Everybody has known that within the motorcycling realm that Ducati is part of Volkswagen Group. And Volkswagen took a huge, huge bath when they kind of decided not to obey the laws. And they put in software that kind of, chink, chink, bypassed the emissions control testing unit. And then discovered it. Then people discovered that, hey, you don't pass. And that's going to cost you billions of dollars to fix all that. So they paid the fines, blah, 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 and they're hemorrhaging money. So they're going, how do we get rid of all of our assets that don't make us money? Ducati. We own this Ducati, and we haven't owned it that long, so let's see about what we could do. Well, they were looking at selling it, and they have, it was interesting. Did you see that the bidding companies supposedly, was, according to Reuters, was to include Polaris Industries, Italy's Benetton, former Ducati owner Investindustrial, Bain Capital, which, oh my God, they own everything. That's when you're really going downhill, as Bain Capital comes in. The bidders, some of whom expressed astonishment and anger at the way the process has been handled, were ready to pay about 1.5 billion euros, that's 1.8 billion for U.S., for Ducati, Reuters said, but the labor leaders at VW, hold half the seats at the 20-member board, have strongly opposed a sale regardless of price.
Mm-hmm.
And so bottom line is there's not going to be any sale at this point in time because, well, I am kind of glad that there are union members who vote and that hold and maybe say, you know what, we want to make this thing work. And we believe in this thing. And don't just come in and corporate raid us and take over. I like this. I like standing up against the Bain Capitals of the world. Because, yeah, maybe they've saved a few, but they've also been the bane of a lot of people. Pun. In the meantime,
pun intended,
Ducati is rolling out the 2018 lineup.
Yep.
Now, I haven't seen any of them personally. Have you seen any of the new ones, or have they actually been out yet? They may be releasing them soon, but you've got the Multistrada 1200, Enduro Pro, X-Devil, Iceberg White, 1299, Pingali R, Final Edition, Scrambler, Monster 797, et cetera, et cetera. So I haven't looked at any of them. I haven't even seen any online. Have you looked at any of the Ducatis?
I've seen the Scramblers. And the Monsters.
Yeah.
Haven't ridden any of them yet.
No. And we're hoping that with the World of Motorcycling lineup and with a new thing that we're going to get some people on board that are dealerships in the area that will do some back and forth, and then we'll be able to go out and test ride these different bad boys and come back and talk about them a little bit and ride up a little bit and... We can't put GoPro on. Walt told me it's against the law to ride with a GoPro here in Washington State.
I understand that to be the case. You're not supposed to have any permanent attachment to your
helmet. But you can put it on the front of your bike.
Sure.
So that would be kind of a neat little thing down the road, and then we can have our YouTube channel and throw things on there. Mm-hmm. I would like to have it set up so you can be talking, though. Hey, well, I'm on this, da-da-da, this is how I feel. You know, like the Venture. Yeah, I'm not too sure. That shifted fast. man, compared to mine, I'm winding that puppy out. This thing shifts too fast, and you'd be talking about that. That's what people like, is to hear your thoughts about what's going on. So we're going to try to offer those kind of features in the new lineup. But one of the things that people don't understand is when you go to buy a manufacturing plant, it's not like you can just pick it up and take it somewhere. Most of the time, they're going to take what is there and bring in new leadership.
Yep.
And they're going to run it from that operation, because if you're thinking about Ducati, they've got a very deep line of products,
mm-hmm.
and they've got a lot of accessories, and they've got parts to take care of all their dealerships around the world. It's not like you can just come into a dealership, take it over, and haul it off down the street and reopen it. We're talking millions and millions of parts and pieces and SKUs and all this. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and then you've also got a company culture there.
Yes, you do.
That's part of the value of the brand. So you don't want to come in and mess with that.
No. And you've been through a number of companies in your life.
I have.
And you know about company culture.
Yeah, I do.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yep, that's true. Some cultures are better than others.
That is exactly right. That's why I have my own culture. It's called self-employed.
There you go.
But I have my ups and downs, more downs lately than ups. But that's just the product of being self-employed. I got a nice wife who she jumped ship not too long ago from her own clinic to another company, and she's doing really well. But it's long hours,
mm-hmm.
and even before it was long hours, she averages probably 10 to 12-hour days.
Wow.
Because 8 hours of work and then 4 hours of charting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the medical world. All of our friends say the same thing about 12-hour days, in whether you're even a nurse or a physical therapist or whatever, because of all the charting, and it's all computerized, and it's not faster. It's actually slower. So anyway, we'll quell the rumors on the Ducati. We don't know where it's going to go. Right now it's on hold. We did come across Yamaha has donated $3 million to 300 various off-road enthusiast orgs over the years. This is a grassroots level marketing which goes to support off-road use groups, be they campers, riders, farmers, etc. Anyone who buys an off-road vehicle. And I think that's smart money. If you're going to invest into something and you're going to do a little marketing, invest in those groups that are going to buy your machines.
Yeah.
You know how many farmers that own 4x4s and side-by-sides and stuff? A lot. My father-in-law has a Gator, and whenever we're down at the farm, the kids and I have a blast driving that around on the 200 acres. And so a lot of people use that. They don't use horses anymore most places. They use these.
Right.
And if you're an off-road organization trying to keep the rights going, Blue Ribbon Coalition and others like that, they will go to that because guess what? It's to their back pocket. It comes right back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than serving the general public with commercials, why not go to the people who are already buying your product, who support you? So, you know, $3 million, that's well invested. And you know what? It's a write-off too.
Yeah.
So it has...
Bonus.
It's a bonus. Bonus. So maybe they'll advertise with us, but who knows? And then we did notice that Ray Price has partnered with a vodka company. It's North Carolina-based Gray Beard Distillery, makers of Bedium Vodka, to build the Bedium Vodka custom motorcycle. Bedium bike will be unveiled Friday the 22nd. Anchor Bar located in Raleigh, North Carolina. And during the Ray Price Capital City Bike Fest, and we've talked to those guys out there before. Great, great organization. After unveiling, the Bedlam bike will be parked in the Bedlam Vodka booth, Biker Fest, and will be used as a center point for donations of the product to benefit those affected by Hurricane Harvey in Houston. And folks, as a side note, don't give to Blue Cross or Red Cross. Give to organizations that are right there. That's my point of view. We'll be right back with more of the show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Business owner. How would you like to elevate your brand name, maximize your advertising efforts, and increase your market share amongst motorcycle enthusiasts? Well, you can, and we'll show you how. Just go to www.thehogradioshow.com. Click the Contact Us button and follow the instructions. We'll send you our free Hog Radio Marketing Report along with further instructions. It's that simple. When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling.
BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
Long ago, back in the past, that's what we like to take you now and then when we bring our guests on and talk about back in the day. But tonight it's just John and I, and we're chatting about things of today. And John wanted to kind of shift gears and talk about a couple things that he's seen out on the road and some events that he's been involved with and will be involved with that we do support.
Yeah, this past weekend on Sunday, a buddy of mine and I took off to visit the last of the 7 Tour of Honor sites in the state of Washington.
Talk to us about the Tour of Honor sites.
So the Tour of Honor was set up a few years ago. It's designed as a fundraiser for veterans and first responders charities. It's a motorcycle photo rally. You drive your motorcycle to selected spots in each state and take a photograph of your motorcycle with your rally flag on it with the site in view.
Mm-hmm.
And you collect those, and if you're able to visit all 7 sites in a state, you're considered a finisher, and so you get a completion certificate. There are also prizes for being the first, second, or third rider in each state to finish the state, to visit all 7 sites.
Very good.
And then they also do prizes for folks who visit the most sites across the country. So, we went out and picked up the 7th site for Washington on Sunday, so that completes Washington.
Where was that at?
It was in Bremerton.
Okay.
At the 9/11 Memorial.
Right.
In Bremerton. It's an amazing memorial, one of the best ones I've ever seen. Really nicely done. There's pieces of steel from the towers there. There's a piece of the limestone from the Pentagon.
Wow.
And there's even some dirt from the field there in Pennsylvania. So,
wow.
Yeah, really very moving, very well put together memorial.
Very good.
Yeah, so we finished that up. That runs from April 1st until the end of October. You register online at touroofhonor.com, and you can find out where all the sites are and that sort of thing. New sites get released on the 1st of April, and then you have until the end of October to visit all.
You know, what's really interesting is you got involved because your stepbrother was killed while he was over in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And somebody that was involved with this talked to you about it, invited you, and you decided this would be something. But it's right within your wheelhouse, because when I met John, back in 2007, 2008, I think it was about 2008 that we met, and we had him in the show. We did some shows together, and we did the International Motorcycle Show a couple years.
Yep.
And you had a round the state park thing where people would go around and get their picture taken and win certificate. And so this is right in line with a very similar thing, but this one has actually got a very positive cause to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great program. It's been very successful. It's grown every year. I don't know what the rider total is this year, but it's in the hundreds.
Excellent.
And they're from all over the country. There are sites in almost every state. It's a great rally. It's a great event. And as I say, the proceeds go to veterans and first responder charities. And you can, this past year, the organizer set it up in such a way that you could direct your donation to, you know, one of, he had a menu of choices.
Oh, very good.
Charities that you could direct your donation to. So,
and I think when we launch World of Motorcycling, we'll have a spot in there on the website where it'll be our favorite charities, and I think that would be a great one to be involved with. Another one that we're going to put in there is Ride for Kids, which Walt's a big supporter, big sponsor of that, and so are you. As a matter of fact, that's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's on the 17th of September. I'm already signed up. I did it last year, doing it again this year. It was a super well-organized event, just wonderfully put together, and really rewarding on a personal level just to know that you're making a difference. I learned last year that motorcyclists are the number one source of funding for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. So
yeah, we got, it says a Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, generously, what's that say there? It says...
gratefully acknowledges Hog Radio
for
their support.
For their support of Ride for Kids. So for many years, we would promote it a lot, and we had Kelly on, who was the nationwide rep, and now she's stepped down and retired, and it's a new person, so we haven't connected. So when we roll out the new format, we will connect, and maybe when you're out there, you connect with the person out there and say, hey, we're rolling out a new show. We want you to be involved with it, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Because we do like to support these kind of things, and we can cut some ads and put them out there and promote it, because it is Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. It goes to children. It goes to research on how they can do a better job, new technologies and stuff. So those little kids, when they have that, it's a heart-wrenching thing for parents.
It is a true tragedy. I have a coworker and a very good friend whose daughter is dealing with a brain tumor right now.
Wow. How old?
She's 6.
That's what it is. It's always very young.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really tough.
Yeah. So.
You ask yourself why. It's just a fallen world.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's an amazing family. But.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And the child's probably got a very good disposition, too.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's just a beautiful little girl.
Well, one of the things I came across is that there's the new Ninja lineup. And so Kawasaki Motor Corporation USA has released the model year 2018 Ninja H2R, H2 Carbon, and Ninja H2 motorcycles. Kawasaki set out to create a factory-built motorcycle where Kawasaki engineers were able to pursue unadulterated performance without the limitations of street or racing
homologation.
I've not used that word before, homologation.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up. I want to start learning new words and applying them to the show and confuse people. Have you ever used that word?
I don't know that I've ever used it. I know what it means. I know what it is.
It's like kind of like homogenized?
Very similar. Basically, in order to qualify a vehicle for racing, they used to do this with cars. In order to qualify a specific model for racing, they had to build a certain number of production vehicles.
Okay.
And that process was called homologization.
Oh, very good. Thank you, John. I'm gonna look it up and see how it's used so I can use
it. There's your new word for the day.
Yes, it is. It is. My youngest son is learning. He just did some aptitude testing, and they always, at the end of the aptitude testing, it's through Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation. So, by the way, folks, if you have a kid who's going to high school and or later on going into college, go to Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation, look them up online. There's a number of outlets here in the United States, nonprofit, and they do aptitude testing, intense aptitude testing, not personality testing. And anyway, you come away with kind of a blueprint of who you are and your innate abilities, strengths, weaknesses, what have you. But one of the things they always do is they give you out a workbook. So he's like level 6 in the English language. And it has hasten is the first word. And he goes, well, why can't I just use quickly? I go, because hasten is a little more defined. Hasten to the bakery. Hasten to the house. It's, I got to get there quickly. So hasten to is, and so the instructor was kind of saying, or the counselor was saying, so anyways, homologation is a new word. I'm going to look it up, start trying to use it. I think that's a great well. So anyway, the first four-stroke supercharged motorcycle from a major manufacturer, the Kawasaki Ninja H2R, produces one unheard of, once unheard of power for a factory-built motorcycle. But I'm looking in here, and it doesn't tell me what that is.
I noticed that, too. There's no mention of a horsepower number there.
So I'm like, is this blowing smoke? Smoke and mirrors?
Well, I hope it's not blowing smoke, but because that would mean you
broke
something.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I looked all the way through this article, and I'm like, yeah, okay, so it's got the Brembo brakes and supercharger and trellis frame and all that, but where's the horsepower? Where's the stats? What's it, 0 to 100? None of that fun stuff.
I'm sure somebody will get a hold of one and put a stopwatch on it.
Yes, I guess maybe that's where I want to be. Yeah. I want to get on one of these things and take it out and try it. And this is not kind of your style of bike, is it, John?
It is not. No,
it's not Walt's either.
Yeah, I do not have a sport bike body. So.
No, I do. So I could get away with it. So that'll be fun. I'll be doing all the sport bike stuff. You guys will be doing the bigger stuff because I don't really like the big, big stuff. It's just kind of, I don't know, I get a little fearful, you might say. And I'm not the only one. I've talked to other people, and they're like, yeah, I like a more nimble, smaller bike. I don't like the big bikes. And there are people that have been riding for years. They just don't want the big bike. And I know small little gals that are 5 foot, 100 pounds, and they're on these great big V-twins. And I'm like, God, I admire that.
Well, a couple weeks ago, when I took out the Venture, I also took out the new ZX10 and had a short little ride on that. It was probably about 30 minutes. That's probably about all I could stand being folded up that small.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what was that, a Yamaha?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the size of an engine on that?
I think it's 1,000 cc's.
Okay. So about 150 horsepower.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Sport bike. Yeah. My hips and knees were sore after half an hour. It's like, okay.
That's,
I'm good.
That's it. I mean,
that was fun, but I'm done now.
I got my good friend Dave. One of these days, I'm gonna have to take you down the track. Do it. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Business owner. How would you like to elevate your brand name, maximize your advertising efforts, and increase your market share amongst motorcycle enthusiasts? Well, you can, and we'll show you how. Just go to www.thehogradioshow.com. Click the Contact Us button and follow the instructions. We'll send you our free Hog Radio Marketing Report along with further instructions. It's that simple. When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online.
In the mirror, the past is fading out. Come tomorrow straight ahead. But it's much too late for talking now. Think I'm gonna ride.
And here we are back to the fourth segment of the show. John Davis and Steve, the producer, Johan, with you tonight. Walt is not with us. He's enjoying Birch Bay with his wife on a little mini vacation. And, you know, one of the things I've seen out on the road and in the air and in the area is that we here in the Northwest live in a zone, and it's a convergence zone. And that convergence zone is such that we have had smoke from British Columbia coming down into our neck of the woods in the Seattle, greater Seattle, Puget Sound area. And we've had it off and on for over a month now, ever since British Columbia started having the fires.
Yeah.
And then it settled in. And then all the smoke from the Oregon fires have pulled up this way. And now we've got Oregon fires, we've got Canadian fires, and it's all filled in. In the last two or three days, we've had ash falling. And my son kind of mistakenly said, well, do I have to go to soccer practice today, Dad? There's the volcano stuff out there. And I didn't say anything, and I got off. And I says, well, no, your Mark said to go ahead and practice. Okay, Dad. And I said, and I got there. So, well, it's the fire. You can live with it. Oh, that's right. It's fire ash. So anyways, it could have been a volcano going off with the amount of smoke in the air. It's way up high. It's actually cooled down. Today we had a breeze, so the ash kind of went away. But we're praying for rain,
yep.
And we really are hoping. And it has been nasty, and I talked with Sugar Bear, who's down in California, world-famous chopper builder and the best Springer front end you could ever ask for. If you want long Springer with no flop, total control, he's the one to go to. Anyways, I was talking to him yesterday. We had a great conversation, and he had moved. He's no longer in Southern California. He's now in Northern California, and he happens to be very close to the Sequoia National Park, and they have been having fires there, and they've been trying to keep the fires from going into killing, you know, burning down those 2,000-year-old redwoods.
Right.
And so he's up in that area, but what's interesting is so – I have friends all over the United States, and they're having either hurricanes or fires. I think the East Coast isn't having any of it, but we are, and it's nasty. And so we're hoping for rain, even for a day. It would make a huge difference.
Yeah, it really cleans up the air.
It does. And then the other thing is I discovered Sugar Bear has got a new venture. He's still building his he's still got a shop building front ends and choppers. Is he's got Sugar Bear Chopper Museum, and he has purchased property out in Sturgis, North Dakota, South Dakota, about 14 miles out of Sturgis, just north, about 4 miles away from the Broken Spoke campground, right off of Highway 79, and it's just a 100-acre ranch that he purchased, and it just went through. And he's got a nonprofit organization, and he is going to raise money, and we'll be talking about it and partnering up with him here in the future, too, under World of Motorcycling to really promote it, because he wants to raise all private funding. It's all nonprofit, so you can write it off as a tax write-off. Doesn't want to bring in, quote, corporations to help out because they tend to want to do things their way, and he doesn't need the other people involved. So he's going to build some buildings out there, and it's going to be designed so that during Sturgis Week, probably about a three-week period out there, that it's going to be an alternative place for builders and families to come out. It's going to be family-friendly. So not bars, not the bikini bike wash stuff, but actual people who love motorcycles, who love building motorcycles. He's going after the younger crowd who don't like to go to all that other stuff. They tend to be more into the bikes, and if they're into doing it, they go cafe racing, coffee to coffee. They're not in there to get into going out and get hammered and ride the motorcycles. They're about – it's a different echelon of bike builders, and they've not been coming to Sturgis, a lot of them, because they don't like the atmosphere, and they don't want to bring their families to it. So Sugar Bear has seen this, and he has decided to make an opportunity for a lot of people to be able to come out there. And I said, you know, that would be wonderful. My family and I, we came through there. That's how I got the idea. In 2006, I got the idea for the show because we were in that area, and we were camping as our whole family in our van. And we were at Custer State Park, and we saw, you know, we went into Sturgis on Sunday, so it was all done, and we just went by it. But he's like, that's – if I knew about that, I would have gone to see it. As a family, if we knew that was going on, we would have paid the $20, went into it, and hung out and looked at all those cool bikes, talked to people, And it would have been a wonderful thing. And my family would have been nice and safe, and you could have coffee and cold drinks and whatever. But it's a family thing. So I am supportive of what he's doing. He's got this vision, and he's already gotten people on board that want to help him out. So he's very, very busy burning up the telephone lines, talking to people. But, hey, I think that's wonderful. And he's going to have a museum, so it'll be a rotation of different people will be featured in it, and history of a lot of people. And he, I mean, of anybody, he's the keeper of the African-American history of choppers and motorcycles. He's got thousands of images and stories, and I would love to work with him to do a video or a documentary. But anyway, that's another story. But I think that's exciting.
Yeah.
And I think you'd enjoy something like that, where it's family-friendly, where you can go out and hang out. And he sees, he's got like he's up on a hill, so you see like a mile's worth of a snaky road and all the motorcycles going by. And he says, you just sit out there in the morning with a cup of coffee and just watch motorcycles.
Just watch them go by.
What a relaxing idea.
That sounds like a good way to spend a day.
I could spend a week out there with him. I like him a lot. The picture on the wall there is one of the very, very few picture I have of builders, and that's him right there with my three sons. So,
wow.
That was back in 2008 when we were down there. A couple of things that I wanted to, before we wrap up, is AMA Hall of Fame Class of 2017, Donnie Emler Sr., who helped establish the roots of motocross and off-road aftermarket performance industry, and then Eddie Lojack Sr., who won numerous off-road championships. Then Bob Moore, successful American racer, winning AMA 125 West Region Supercross in 1985 before shifting his focus to the world stage. And then Peter Starr, racer in England, mid-20th century, is best known for later career as a filmmaker. We had him on. Great guy. John Ehrlich, a leading figure in American racing, credential as a racer, team owner, and journalist, charitable organizations, et cetera. So congratulations to you guys. Maybe we'll work to bring them on once we have the new short show established. Of course, I've only got about 350 to 400 former guests that once the new show gets rolled out, we're going to bring them on. But it's only going to be a segment. We won't be having a full show because we're going to be covering a lot of different aspects. And one other thing is warning. Oregon Power Sports Association and Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association is notifying retailers to be on the lookout for vehicles coming from Gulf states that may have sustained flood damage during Hurricane Harvey. This advisory comes a day after the National Insurance Crime Bureau warned the vehicles flooded by waters. And I'll tell you what, that's not only motorcycles, that's cars
too.
That's a huge thing for people to bring in these cars. They get them at knockdown pricing. They're flood cars, and they look great. They clean them, steam clean them, everything, but they've been under the water.
Yeah, I remember after Katrina, they had a similar issue.
That's right.
Yep.
And then they look great, but you know what? Once that water gets in there, it can cause issues. Be forewarned. John, is there anything else you have to cover in the last 30 seconds or so?
Let's see. BMW is recalling 3,368 R9T motorcycles.
Yep.
2014 through 2017 models. Right side swing arm pivot bolt pins may loosen, affecting the handling and stability of the motorcycle.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
Yeah. You would think quality control would have caught that sort of thing. But
every time we get these recalls, I'm like, okay, if it's just a handful, okay, maybe something happened. But when there's that many, somebody asleep at the wheel at that day?
You got to wonder. And it's going back a few years, too, all the way to 2014.
Right. Well, there's our music. So I'm Steve.
I'm John.
And we just want to thank you for being
so
with us
say.
And enjoying the ride.
Are
remember, keep the chrome side up, the rubber side down, and
away.
We will see you out on
now
the road.
Now, people out there, you know it's not right. Because it's
actually,
not supposed to be that way.
Wow, I fooled you
hey,
guys, didn't
hey.
I? Got one more segment.
All right. Hey, hey.
I am
when you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
We could build a fire. We rub two legs together. We could drop all our problems to our knees.
Well, John. That was a really fast show. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hog Radio Show. Wow.
It feels like I never left.
It's just like I never left. Folks, I just apologize. Just to let you know, I've been building another show. It's going to be an auto show, and I'm working with some other guys, and we're launching that very soon. And this afternoon, I was spending all day, well, actually all day, putting together a brand new format for a brand new show, and the bumpers are at different places, blah, blah, blah. So my brain is pretty splattered. I'm enjoying the show. It's just I'm looking at my sequences on my softwares on the computer, and I'm like, I guess we're ready to go. And, no, we got this last segment. So, folks, I'm sorry. You don't have to keep the chrome side up or the rubber side down. But, yes, you do. You need to.
Yeah, you should do that anyway.
And do you have a good safety tip? Because you are now an official instructor.
My favorite safety tip is go practice your emergency stops.
Yes.
You know, there was a recent report that was done by the University of Virginia that was called Why We Crash, where they studied 100 motorcyclists. They instrumented them with cameras and all sorts of other things. One of the interesting findings was that as motorcyclists, we run into the backs of things an awful lot.
Yes.
And, you know, there's really no reason to do that. If you're scanning ahead, as you should be, and if you've worked on your braking technique, you should be able to stop your motorcycle. So go out there, find yourself a parking lot, and pick your spot, get up some speed, and practice your emergency braking.
I remembered that when I was taking the class, you rev it up 25 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour, and then hit that patch, stop in that patch. And one guy flipped over the handlebars, and he was gone after that. It was like, bye-bye. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And then I loved dodging the bus. Down, back up, down, yeah, back
the
up.
The swerve. Swerve drill's a good one, too. I dodge manholes on my way home every day.
Yes.
You just got to find those opportunities to practice those big skills.
That's right.
Wherever you can incorporate it in your daily life.
Well, you got it. See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.